B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos daf kuf mem dalet. We're going to start 10 lines from the bottom of kuf mem gimel omad beis. We saw in the Mishnah that one is not allowed to squeeze fruits on Shabbos in order to squeeze out of them liquids. And we said that this is a toilda of dosh, mefarik. It's like threshing on some level. It's removing something from within something else. The liquids were inside the solids and you're squeezing them out. It's osa. Ein seich din es haperis lo itzi men mashkin. Then the Mishnah discussed what happens if the juices oozed out on their own. Are you allowed to benefit them on this Shabbos or not? And the reason that not is we're afraid that if we allow you to benefit from the juices that oozed out, you may come to squeeze them, and that's osur. So we saw in the Mishnah that the Tanakamas say it's osur, and Rabbi Yehuda say that it depends. If the fruits were originally collected in order to be eaten, in which case you do not want them to be squeezed, then even if a bit of juice oozed out, we're not afraid you're going to squeeze out the rest, and therefore you're allowed to benefit from the juices that oozed out. However, if you collected these fruits in order to squeeze them, then the fact that it started oozing out, if we are going to be able to drink them or to use them, benefit from this on Shabbos, you may come to squeeze the rest, and therefore it's osa. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. The Gemara we learnt on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis separated all fruits into three categories. There was what we would call typically zeisim and anovim, olives and grapes, which everybody squeezes out, or most people squeeze out for wine or oil. And then you've got shar peiros, which is other fruits which typically one would not squeeze at all. And then you've got a middle bracket, which is called tutim verimoinim, a type of berry and pomegranates, where people do not often squeeze them, but they sometimes do. And Shmuel in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis maintained that in the case of Zeisim Vanovim, that everybody or many, many people squeeze them, even if you collected them in order to eat them, you're not allowed to benefit from the juices that oozed out of them, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you might change your mind and squeeze the rest. In the case of Shar Peiros, that nobody squeezes them, there Shmuel said that even the Chachomim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that if you collected them in order to eat them, then you're allowed to benefit from the juices. In the case of Tutim V'Rimoinim, that's the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim. According to the Chachomim, even if you collected them in order to eat the fruits and not in order to squeeze them, you're not allowed to benefit from the juices. And Rabbi Yehuda said that you are allowed to benefit from the juices, providing that you collected them in order to eat them, not in order to squeeze them. But here in the Braisa that the Gemara brought, there's one extra word. The Braisa says that regarding these tutim v'rimoinim, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you collected them in order to squeeze them, or stam, which means that you collected them with no stated purpose, it's osa. Which means that if you collected it specifically in order to eat them, Rabbi Yehuda said you're allowed to benefit from the juices. If you collected them in order to drink them, we can understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to benefit from the juices. Everybody agrees with that, that if you collect them in order to drink them, that to squeeze them, you're not allowed to benefit from the juices. Here the Braisa added on that even if there's no specific stated purpose, it's considered as if it was collected in order to squeeze, and you're not allowed to benefit from the juices. That's what we saw in the Braisa. And it's regarding this particular detail, whether if you collect the fruits, stem, with no stated purpose, whether it's considered osa, because we assume, we put it in the same bracket as if you wanted the juices to ooze out, which is what we said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that's something which we're going to question from a Mishnah, and that's how we're starting today's daf. And it's a somewhat complicated Mishnah. It's going to take us a little bit to sugyas that we haven't learned so much yet, but at the end of that Mishnah, which we're about to quote, we're going to come back to this topic. Says the Gemara, Vasova Rabbi Yehuda stam osur, can Rabbi Yehuda possibly hold that regarding tutim and remoinim, these berries and pomegranates, that if you collected them with no stated mission, we'll call it stoma. If you collected them stam, that it's osa, that means that the juices are considered juices and they're osa, also to benefit from on Shabbos, votnan we learnt in a Mishnah. And this Mishnah is now going to have a dialogue between the Tanakhama, between the Chachomim and Rabbi Akiva, backwards and forwards, as follows. And the context of this Mishnah, the topic of this Mishnah, is regarding Hilchos Tumah and Tahara. And we know that in Hilchos Tumah and Tahara, there's a concept called mashkin, translated as beverages. There's a certain bracket of seven mashkin, seven particular liquids, that they have the halachas of mashkin. Being called mashke has got a number of halachic ramifications. One of them being that, number one, that they themselves can become tomei, and number two, that they can make other things susceptible to become tomei. Food will only ever become tomei if before the sherets or anything tomei touched the food, if one of the seven liquids touched these foods. And that means that the liquids, even in a tohir state, they made the food susceptible to become tomei, after which, if something tomei touches them, they can become tomei. And one of those liquids are called milk. Another one is called blood. Milk and blood are both liquids that are found also in humans. A typical mother has milk. And blood, we're talking here particularly about the blood of a wound, which any person could have such blood. And then by an animal also, a female animal has milk, and an animal could also have blood from a wound. And the blood we're talking here about, the blood of a wound, and this is not including the blood which comes out of an animal when it's shechted, because there's a special posuk that compares that to water, and therefore it's a different bracket of halachas that we're not discussing here. We're talking about here the blood of a wound. Now we know that the general rule is often that in order for these liquids to be called mashke in Hilchos Tumah and Tahara, it has to have some level of rotzin, some level of desiring. You want these liquids. If you want these liquids, then your desire make these liquids have the status of mashkim, and then all the halachas of mashkin will apply. And there are some exceptions. We're going to see that now. So the Mishnah says as follows. Cholov ha'isha, milk from a mother, from a woman, mitamei lerotzoin v'shaloi lerotzoin. This is learnt out from explicit psukim. There's a posuk that says that milk of a mother, irrespective of whether you wanted the milk to come out or you did not want the milk to come out, it's got the halachas of a mashke, and it can become tomei, and it can make food susceptible to tomei. Cholov behema, however, regarding the milk of an animal, eino mitame elo lerotzin. Over there, the Tanakama hold that if the milk came out of the animal berotzin, you wanted the milk to come out, that's fine. Then it's called mashke and it's tomei and mitame. However, Omer Rabakiva argues and says that even in the case of shaloi lerotzin, if the milk came out of the animal and you had no particular desire for it, Rabbi Akiva says, even there, it's tomei, it's metamei, not like the chachomim. And he learns out from a kal v'chomer. V'kal v'chomehu, umar cholov ha'isha, if the milk of a woman, she'enoi meyuchad elo lektanim, which is only intended for little children, metamei lerotzin v'shaloi lerotzin, and we see from the posuk that even shaloi lerotzin, it's called milk, it's called a mashke, cholov abehema, the milk of an animal, shemeyuchad bein lektanim bein nigdoilim, it has a much broader usage. It's intended not only for little children, even for adults. Eino din sheyetamei bein lerotzin bein shaloi lerotzin. Logic would dictate that the halachas of the milk of an animal should be more stringent than those of a woman. And since the milk of a woman, everybody agrees, is tomei, even if it came out shaloi berotzin, so Rabbi Akiva says the same will be with the milk of an animal. Omrulai, the Chachomim argued back to Rabbi Akiva and said, you cannot learn the halachas of the milk of an animal from the halachas of the milk of a woman. Why? Im tomei cholovo isho sheloi lerotzoin shedam magofoso tomei. In the halachas of a woman, we find other areas where there's the tumah is more stringent than that of animals, and therefore the milk of a woman would also have more stringent halachas, namely that even sheloi lerotzoin they are metame. However, in the case of an animal, where the halachas of the blood of an animal are more lenient, so too the milk will be more lenient, and therefore if it's sheloi lerotzoin, the Tanakama say it's not tomei. And what is this halacha? Shedam magofoso tomei. In the case of a woman, if blood comes out from a wound of a woman, that it's tomei. However, in the case of an animal, the blood of a wound of an animal is not going to become tomei. And therefore, since regarding blood, we find that an animal is more lenient than a woman, so too you cannot learn the halachas of the milk of an animal from the stringent halachas of the milk of a woman. That's what the Chachomim claim, that the halachas of the blood of an animal, the wound coming out of the wound of an animal, is tohir. And so too the milk will be more lenient, that if it's sheloi l'rotzin, then it will not be tomei. Omar lehen, so Rabbi Akiva now responded back to the Chachomim, Machmir ani b'cholov mi bedam. It's true that if I looked at the blood, we would find that the blood of a woman is more stringent than the blood of the animal, and therefore, you Chachomim assume that with the milk also, the halachas of the animal should be more lenient than the halachas of a woman. But Rabbi Akiva says no. He says we look at the blood as being more stringent, at the milk, sorry, milk has a more stringent set of halachas than blood. So even if you find a leniency regarding the blood of an animal, we would not use that leniency to assume that the milk also has such a leniency. And therefore, regarding milk, we can learn from the milk of a woman that it should be tomei, even sheloi lerotzin. Where do we find a stringency of milk over blood? If somebody milks an animal for therapeutic purposes, tomei will become tomei. But if somebody lets blood of a woman, the blood of an animal for refuah, for therapeutic reasons, toyer, it will be toyer. So you see that it's easier for blood to be toyer than for milk to be toyer. The milk that was milked, lerefuah, is tomei. So too, we can learn the milk of the animal from the milk of a woman, that even sheloi lerotzin, it will be tomei. Omruloi. The Chachomim argued back now to Rabbi Akiva and said, no, salei zeisim v'anovim yechichu. If you have baskets with zeisim v'anovim, olives and grapes, she'amashkin ha'yotzin mehen, lerotzin tomeim, sheloi lerotzin tohirim. We see explicitly that if the juices, although assuming that the juices came out of them, lerotzoin, you wanted these juices to come out, then they have the status of mashkin, and then it's tomei. However, sheloi lerotzoin, if you were not satisfied, you had no desire for the juices to come out, then they are tohir. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva, how can Rabbi Akiva bring me proof from when you're milking an animal, lerefuah, or you're making dam lerefuah, and you're bringing proof from there that since milking an animal or a foe is tomei, so you want to say, so too, when the milk comes out, sheloi berotzoin. How can you bring a proof of cholov that came out sheloi berotzoin from cholov that you milked the animal for therapeutic reasons? Over there, it's called rotzoin. You wanted the animal to be healed. You wanted the milk to come out. And we just saw here, in the case of the baskets of Zeisim V'anovim, that there's a difference between if you want the liquids or you don't want the liquids. So of course, if you milk the animal l'rafua, it's going to be tomei, or it could become tomei, because there you're milking it l'rotzoin. But in the case of sheloi l'rotzoin, which is the discussion of Akiva and the Chachomim, over there, who says that the animal should become tomei? And therefore, you cannot learn from, not the animal, the milk of the animal will not become tomei, and therefore you cannot learn the milk of an animal from the milk of a human. And in the case of an animal, if it's lerotzin, it can become tomei, and if it's shloi lerotzin, it will not become tomei, says the Tanakama, says the Chachomim, not like the case of the milk of a woman, where there we have a pasuk that even shloi lerotzin is tomei. And this is the end of the Mishnah quoted here. And Tosfos brings that Rabbi Akiva actually had a response to this. If you look in the Mishnah in Machshirin, over there Rabbi Akiva answered that you cannot bring proof from the baskets of Zeisim and Anovim, because over there you need a much higher level of Rotzoin in order to make what was a solid receive the status of a liquid. It was a grape, which is a solid, or an olive, which is a solid, and now you want it to receive the status of a mashke, of a beverage, and be called wine or oil, that you need rotzin. But in the case of the milk, that even before it came out of the mother, before it came out of the animal, it was already a liquid, you don't need that level of rotzin. That's how Rabbi Akiva answers the Chachomim over there in Machshirin. But as far as the Gemara here is concerned, that's the end of the Mishnah. But let's take bottom line. There's one line in this Mishnah which is important to this sugya here, and that's this last line. The Chachomim said to Rabbi Akiva, baskets of Zeisim v'anovim. Let's remember that. That's the bracket of where everybody or most people squeeze these Zeisim and Anovim, and it says there explicitly that if the juices oozed out of it, berotz, and you wanted it, then it has the status of mashke. If it was shelloi l'rotzoin, then it does not have a status of mashke. So the Gemara is now saying, what does rotzoin and shelloi b'rotzoin mean? And I'll just introduce here, there's going to be four levels of desire, or lack thereof. You've got the highest level of desire for the mashkin is when I want the juices, when I collected the fruits in order to squeeze them, and or I actually do squeeze them intentionally, I want the juices. That's the highest level of rotzen. Then we've got the next level down, which is stomach. If I didn't, there was no stated purpose of why I collected these fruits, and there's a good chance that I would want the juices, but it's a little bit less level of rotzen than if I actually collected them in order to squeeze them. The next level down is going to be if I actually collected them in order to eat them, not in order to squeeze them. There, I hardly want the juices, and I may even not really want the juices. I just didn't think about the juices that I don't want. I just focused on the fact that I want the fruits, and squeezing them could actually be against what I want. And then the last level, which is the extreme case of shelo l'rotzoin, and that's when a person explicitly says, where a person reveals his intent and says, I do not want the juices. I only want the fruit. I do not want the juices. Those are the four levels. Now, so the case of where you want the mashkin is definitely called the rotzin. There's no discussion about that. In the case where you explicitly reveal your intent that you don't want the mashkin, there, that's explicitly called shelo l'rotzin. The middle bracket, the middle two, and that means the stoma and the knisa la'ichlin, which means either when I had no intent or if I collected them in order to eat them and not in order to squeeze them, that's the middle bracket. Is that called l'rotzin? Is it called shelloi l'rotzin? And in the Gemara here is focused on the stoma stage, not so much on the knisa la'ichlin stage. So the Gemara says, my love, can we not assume that what does l'rotzin mean? D'nichale, that's the highest level of rotzin. That's called rotzin. In that case, if the water oozes out of them, I want the water, I want the mashkin, I want the liquids, and it's got all the halachas and the status of a mashke. Shelloi l'rotzin, what does it mean, shelloi l'rotzin? When I don't have a specific rotzin. And that even includes bistoma, because when I didn't have an intended direction, an intended purpose, it's also shelloi l'rotzin. It wasn't that I don't want it, but I didn't have the rotzin. That's how the Gemara is assuming now. So in which case, you have here this Mishnah, which the Gemara just explained, that says that mashkin that came out of Zeisim v'anovim, and let's remember, even Zeisim v'anovim, that most people squeeze them. If you wanted the juices, it's called mashke. You didn't want the juices. Not that I didn't want them, I just didn't think about it. It was just stoma. I didn't intend to use the juices. It's already not called l'rotzin, and the juices that come out of it are not considered mashke. That's what we've seen till now. And now the Gemara is asking the question on Rabbi Yehuda. And what's the Gemara going to ask? You, Rabbi Yehuda, in the Braisa that we mentioned on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, said that in the case of tutim and remoinim, which is a type of fruits which is less commonly squeezed than than zeisim and anovim, than grapes and olives. And nonetheless, you, Rabbi Yehuda, said in that brisa that if you collected them stoma, it has the same halachas as if you collected them for mashkin. And now that does not going to make sense. If even in the case of zeisim va'anovim, we just said now that collecting them stoma, the liquids that oozed out of them have no status of liquids, then of course if they oozed out on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to use them because they're not even called liquids. There's no you're allowed to drink them even on Shabbos. If so, it cannot be that in the case of tutim and remoinim, that if they were collected stoma, and the juices oozed out of them, you're suddenly going to say, no, this is considered rotzin, and you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos, not allowed to drink it on Shabbos. And this Mishnah is going to contradict Rabbi Yehuda, the brisa we saw before of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see that inside. Uma zeisim va'anovim. If in the case of zeisim va'anovim, the b'nei schita ninu that most people squeeze them, sheloi l'rotzoin, v'loi klum, that having them squeezed out stoma, if the juices came out just when I collected them with no particular desire, not one way, not another way, it's v'loi klum, it's not even called a beverage, tutsim v'remoinim, d'lav b'nei schita ninu, The berries and the pomegranates that less people squeeze them, leikolshken, even more so that if the juices ooze out of it, stoma, that it should not be considered a mashke. How can you, Rabbi Yehuda, say that they're called a mashke? You're not allowed to drink them on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, like, we made a mistake in what stoma is. Who said stoma is in the bracket of shelo lerotzin? Maybe stoma is in the bracket of lerotzin. And when the Mishnah here talking about zeisim and anovim, that it says there that stoma, or it says there that, sorry, when it says shaloi l'rotzoin is tohir, is not called a mashke, the shaloi l'rotzoin of the Mishnah is not talking about stoma. Shaloi l'rotzoin is talking about when I explicitly don't want it. But if it's stoma, then it's considered l'rotzoin. And then there's no question on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about stoma, and stoma is as if you had rotzoin for the mashke, and therefore it's got all the status of mashke. Only when you explicitly don't want it, then also in the case of tutim v'remoinim, and also in the case of zeisim and anovim, indeed it does not have the title of mashkim. Loi, l'rotzoin bistoma. When the Mishnah says b'rotzoin, it means even stoma is called rotzoin. Sheloi l'rotzoin, when the Mishnah says sheloi l'rotzoin does not have the status of liquids, de golia daite, he revealed his intent, de omar, and he said, loi nichli, I don't want the juices to come out. That would be one way of explaining this Mishnah. Vi'i bois ema, another explanation, another answer to explain the Mishnah, so it should not be a contradiction with what we've learnt in Rabbi Yehuda. Shani sale zeisim v'anovim, that the baskets of that are containing these zeisim v'anovim, and the Mishnah especially mentions salim, which is a type of baskets which have holes in it. Kiven de le'ibud kaimi, since any liquids that would ooze out in these baskets would get lost immediately. Meikora afkure afkerle, then he initially makes it hefka and gives no value to the fruits, to the juices. Which means that in the first answer of the Gemara, we said that when the Mishnah speaks about shaloi l'rotzoin, it means that you explicitly said that you don't want the juices. When the Mishnah says l'rotzoin, it means even stoma. According to this explanation of the Gemara says, you're right, everywhere else, generally speaking across the board, stoma is like l'rotzoin, as we saw. But the Mishnah here that speaks about the shaloi l'rotzoin, it could be the Mishnah here does mean stoma. And just in the case here, where even though it was stoma, but his actions of putting these zeisim v'anovim into baskets where any juices are going to get lost, then in this particular case, the stoma has the status of shaloi l'rotzoin. He's making it clear that he does not want or need the juices oozing out, and therefore in this case, it will not have a status of liquids. However, if you were to put them in a basket or into a container that's solid, a metal basket that has no holes in it, in that case, then the stoma would not be shaloi l'rotzoin, it would be l'rotzoin, and they would have the status of juice, of liquids, of beverages, unless he explicitly states that he doesn't want it. continues the Gemara. Ashkechon Rabbi Yehuda de Moide l'Rabbonon b'zeisim u'ba'anovim. We saw in the Gemara and Dafkuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that there's no machlekas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim. They both agree that in the case of zeisim v'anovim, of olives and grapes, even though you collected them in order to eat them, not to squeeze them, since most people squeeze them, you're not allowed to benefit from the juices that oozed out of them, because we're afraid, now you're seeing the juices, you may come to squeeze them on Shabbos. And we had a braisa to that effect, that there's no machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim in this detail. Rabbonon de moidele l'Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peiros minolon. Something else that Shmuel said on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis is that regarding other fruits, there's no which nobody or almost nobody squeezes. Then, regarding other fruits, the Chachomim agree to Rabbi Yehuda that if you collect them in order to eat them, not in order to squeeze them, that you're allowed to benefit from the juices. That the Rabbonon de Moidele Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peiros minolon, we want to find proof to this. Have you got any proof that states that according to the Chachomim, even though the Chachomim in the Mishnah and Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, they maintain that even if you collect it in order to eat it, one's not allowed to benefit from the juices? That's not talking about shar peiros, as we saw. It's talking about tutim en remoinim. But other fruits, the Rabbonon agree to Rabbi Yehuda that one is allowed to benefit from the juices. Where do we have a proof to this? Says the Gemara, the Tani we learnt in the Braisa. Soichatin, one is allowed to squeeze on Shabbos, bepegoin, or beprishin, or beoizrodin, which are three different types of fruits that were generally, or that they were never squeezed for their juices. And it says here, you're even allowed to explicitly squeeze them on Shabbos. Why? Since it's so unusual to squeeze these fruits, it's not considered dosh, it's not considered an activity of a melacha that's osur on Shabbos. Avaloi b'remoinim. They agree that in the case of remoinim, as we saw before, that tutim and remoinim is the machlokes of Yehuda and the Chachomim, and everybody agrees you're not allowed to squeeze them. If they oozed out on their own, that's the machlokes of Yehuda and the Chachomim. So this braisa says that you're allowed to squeeze other fruits, but not remoinim. Vashalbeis Menashe Bar Menachem, it was common practice in the home of this individual called Menashe Ben Bar Menachem, hoyu soichtim remoinim, during the week they used to squeeze pomegranates. So you see that pomegranates is something that gets squeezed, and therefore the juices are considered juices and they're considered mashkim, and therefore you're not allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. However, the pegoin, beprishin, and the oizradin, which means other fruits, they do not get squeezed ever, and therefore one's allowed to even squeeze them on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to discuss this. First and foremost, it's true that you see here that other fruits, not only are you allowed to benefit from the juices that ooze out of them, you're even allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. Mimai de Rabbonon hi. But who told you that this Brice is the Rabbonon? Maybe the Brice is Rabbi Yehuda. Said Dilma Rabbi Yehuda hi. Says the Gemara, but to have Nami Rabbi Yehuda, let's even say it's Rabbi Yehuda. Emer de Shomesle Rabbi Yehuda, Yotzu Me'atzmon, Seichaton Lekatchila Mishomesle. I don't understand. The whole Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim is only regarding juices that oozed out on their own. Are you allowed to benefit from them on Shabbos or not? But the whole Machlokes was only in cases where you're not allowed to squeeze them yourself on Shabbos. And the question was, are we afraid that you're going to, if you're allowed to use the juices that oozed out from them, you're going to come to squeeze them on Shabbos? That's where the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim was. They were only ever arguing in a case where it's also to squeeze them. Here you see explicitly, you're even allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. That's a completely different bracket to what we've seen till now. Elomayis lochlemeimar, what do you have to say? Kiven delav b'nei schitaninu, since these fruits are never squeezed out, afilu lekatchila, therefore you're even allowed to lekatchila squeeze them on Shabbos, and the juices are not called juices. We'll soon see why he's squeezing them if the juices are not called juices. What are you squeezing them for? But even lekatchila, you're allowed to squeeze them. And there says, so the Gemara says, afilu teimer abonon, if so, that these fruits are never ever squeezed, and therefore, or never squeezed for their juices, and therefore squeezing it is mutar on Shabbos, there's no reason in the world to say it's Rabbi Yehuda more than the Rabbonon. If Rabbi Yehuda allows you to squeeze them, for the same token the Rabbonon would allow you to squeeze them. Afilu teimer Rabbonon, kiven delav b'nei schitaninu, afilu lekatchila, shma mino, Rabbonon hi, shma mino. So you see that this is a type of halacha that even the Rabbanon will agree that you're allowed to squeeze these fruits. And you can look in the Sfasemes, the Chaznish, other Mefarshim, that when the Braisa said initially on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that Bashar Peiris, they all agreed to Reb Yehuda that you're allowed to benefit from the juices that oozed out of them, according to what we're learning now, it's much more extreme than that. Shar Peiris, you're even allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos because they are never squeezed for their juices. And we're going to see a little bit more about this in a couple of minutes. Continues the Gemara. Shall Beis Menashe Bar Menachem Hoyu Seichtin Beremoinim? What did we see in the Brice at the beginning of the Omid? That Seichatin, one's allowed to squeeze Bepegoin or Beprishin or Beoizerdin, Avaloi Beremoinim. You're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates. Vashal Beis Menashe Bar Menachem Hava Seichtin Beremoinim. They used to squeeze pomegranates during the week. Since they squeezed pomegranates, this one person in his home, they squeezed pomegranates. Therefore, the juice of pomegranates is considered a mashke, and therefore you're not allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. If the whole world doesn't squeeze pomegranates, and just one individual, Menashe Bar Menachem, squeezes pomegranates, that's enough to give these juices the status of liquids of juices that everybody in the whole world should not be allowed to squeeze them? Shall base Menashe Bar Menachem, how you seichtim b'remoinim? Omer of Nachman, halochak shall base Menashe Bar Menachem. So we're starting with Rav Nachman, who says that Aloch is like Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. Omale Rava Rav Nachman, Rava asked Rav Nachman, I don't understand. You're quoting Menashe Bar Menachem as an authority, as an opinion, and you're saying that Aloch is like him? Menashe Bar Menachem Tanahu, he had an opinion? No, all the Braisa says was, you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates, and you told us, you gave us this information that in the home of Menashe Bar Menachem they squeezed pomegranates, so you see that it's something which is done. But he's not an opinion to rule by. V'chi teima, are you going to suggest that halacha ki hai tana de sova lo kushel Menashe Bar Menachem? Maybe what the Braisa means, what Rav Nachman meant was that because Menashe Bar Menachem held that way, that pomegranates are common or are able, they're fit to be squeezed. Therefore, the Tana in the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates because the Tana in the Mishnah held like Menashe Bar Menachem, and Rav Nachman ruled like that Tana. So Rav Nachman didn't mean to say a rule like Menashe Bar Menachem, he meant to say a rule like the opinion that follows Menashe Bar Menachem. Okay. But then we ask a question on that. Mishum desovar k'menashe bar menachem alocha k'moisei? Just because this one Tana followed Menashe bar menachem, that means that we have to follow that? That means that's the halacha? That means the braisa that says, the Tana of the braisa that says, loy b'rimoinim, you're not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos pomegranates, v'shel beis Menashe bar menachem, because the home of Menashe bar menachem did that, why is that reason for Rav Nachman to say the halacha is like that? Menashe Bar Menachem have a ruba de alma? Does this Menashe Bar Menachem consist of most of the world that he can dictate that the common universally accepted practice is to squeeze pomegranates during the week, making squeezing also on Shabbos? Says the Gemara in. It's true that he's not most of the world, but the fact that he did it is the reason that the whole world, none of us are allowed to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos, and that's the halacha. Why? Where do we find such a concept? So Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Kilayim, and we know that one's not allowed to sow vegetation, plant vegetation, in a vineyard. Le'sizra karmacho kilayim. But that's only something that is normally, typically sown, that a person would plant it. Something that no normal person would plant, for example, thorns and thistles, nobody plants that. Who wants that growing in their vineyard? So if they grow there and you leave them there, it would not make the vineyard osur as kilaim. But let's see how accurate that is. We learnt in the Mishnah, hamakayim koitzim bekerem. What happens if somebody maintains these thorns and thistles in his vineyard? Rabbi Lozo Omer, kodesh. Rabbi Lozo says that they become osur. Kodesh often means separated, it's a term of osur. It's also, it's called kerem, it's called klea kerem, kilaim of the vineyard. You're leaving them there, it's vegetation that's growing in your vineyard, it's osur. The chachomim remaining mekadesh, the chachomim argue the belozo and say that no, since no normal person would want this to be planted there, it's not called kisizra, and therefore it's the vineyard will not become osur. Only something that normal people would typically keep and preserve and want to grow, that's what can make a vineyard osar as kilaim. Va'omer Reb Chanina, my Talmud Reb Elazar. Reb Chanina explained why was Reb Elazar stringent. Shekein ba'aravia mekaimin kutzei sodis ligmalein. In a place called Aravia, there it was common practice for the people to maintain and to keep and to plant these thorns and thistles as food for their camels. And since some people in these Aravia place, they would do it, therefore it's called Adovo Shekamoyu Mekaimin. It's called Kisizra, and therefore it's Osir. So from here we have proof that even though they only would preserve these kutzim, these thorns, in some place called Aravia, nonetheless, Reb Elazar says that it becomes Osir for everybody. And even if you're not living in a place called Aravia, if you keep these bushes growing in your vineyard, the vineyard's going to become Osir of Kilaim. So if so, so too, Menashe ben Menachem, he would squeeze pomegranates during the week. So you see that the pomegranate juice is called juice, and therefore the whole world, it's Osir. Says the Gemara, Midi Arya, you're going to bring me a proof from Reb Elazar by the Kilaim to our case here. The Aravia Asra, the place of Aravia, was a big place. It was a town. It was a country. I don't know what it was. It was a big place with lots of people there, and they all had this custom. So Reb Elazar holds, since all those people would grow and they would maintain these thorns and thistles for their camels' food, therefore it's called Kisizra and can make your field also with Kilaim. Your vineyard will become also in the whole world. Hocha, but in the case of squeezing on Shabbos, botlo daito etzel kol odom. One individual in the world, Menashe bar Menachem, who's the only one that squeezes pomegranates, will say that his opinion is totally disregarded. His opinion is going to make that all of us of squeezing pomegranates, that the juices are called juices. Elo hainu taima, the Gemara is now saying, I'll explain to you what Rav Nachman's going to explain why the halacha is you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates. Kudur of Chizda, it's a new logic. It's not because Menashe bar Menachem, he did it, therefore it's called for the whole world, it's called a juice, it's called a liquid, and therefore it's osa. No. The truth is that possibly we wouldn't consider the juices of pomegranates as being called a mashke. However, if you squeezed it, then you gave it significance. And if you gave it a significance, then for you, it's now called a mashke. It's a new logic. And we'll soon see why we need Menashe bar Menachem then. Hainu tamer kud Rav Chisda. This is new logic of Rav Chisda. The Omer Rav Chisda. Taradin, which are type of beets. Shesochaton, that you squeezed out these beets, something that no normal person does. Venosnon b'mikveh, and you poured this water, the juice of the beets, into a mikveh. Poislin is a mikveh b'shinui mare. That's what Rav Chisda said. He said a simple statement that if these juices, which have some discoloration, some color, you pour it in the mikveh, and the mikveh is now becomes discolored, then the mikveh is going to become posel. And at this point, we assume the mikveh can only become posel by something that has the status of a mashke, of a beverage. And that's the halacha of Rav Chisda. Asks the Gemara, v'holav b'nei schita ninu. And it seems, from Rashi, it seems that Rav Nachman is now explaining this, that why should this, the waters of these beets, make the mikveh posel? Lav b'nei schita ninu. Nobody squeezes out beets for the water, so it's not called a mashke. If it's not called a mashke, how is it going to make the mikveh posel? Elo, so Rav Nachman explains and assumes, ma'is l'chol ha'meimar. What do you have to say to explain this halacha? Kiven de'achshavei. Since this particular person squeezed it out, he gave significance to these juices. Havalei mashke. So if this person gave it significance, it now has significance of juices. And therefore, it can make the mikveh posel. So the same hochanami, so too here. Kiven de'achshavinhu havalei mashke. Since this person is squeezing out pomegranates, for him it would be choshuv. He would give it significance. Therefore, in Hilchas Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. And so why do we need Menashe bar Menachem? Very simple. In the case of Pegoin, Prishin, and Oizradin, nobody in the world squeezes it out. And those that squeeze it, they squeeze it just in order to sweeten the fruit a little bit by mushing it, by softening it. But nobody squeezes it in order to benefit from the juices that come out of these fruits. However, in the case of pomegranates, we see that there is a person someplace out there that does squeeze out pomegranates for the juices. Since it's something which is a possibility, then any person in the world, nothing to do with this Menashe Bar Menachem, anyone in the world that squeezes out a pomegranate, if he squeezes out, he's been achshavei, he's given it significance, and therefore his mikvah will become posel, and therefore if you do it on Shabbos, it will be an issa of schita. And that's more or less as far as our sugya here goes. And we have that brisa that says that the Pagoin, Parishin, and Oizradin, they are called Shar Peiros, they are never squeezed for their juices, and therefore you're even allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. And now Rav Papa says, we explained Rav Nachman, who said the aloha by pomegranates is that it's Asa, we explained it with the logic of Rav Chisda, and we brought a Rav Chisda who explained the halacha of beets that are squeezed for their juices, whether the mikveh becomes posel. Now Rav Papa is going to now discuss another reason why this mikveh should be posel. Not like Rav Nachman said that the reason Rav Chisda said that the waters of the beets make the mikveh posel is because this particular person, he gave significance to them. Rav Papa says no, he says a different logic. Rav Papa says you do not need the status of liquids in order to pasel a mikveh. And therefore we do not need that you gave it any significance. No. The reason the mikveh is pasel is there's a new halacha. Rav Papa Omar, Mishum dehava dovr shein oisin mimenu mikveh lekatchila. You're only allowed to make mikveh with rainwater, or snow, or ice, hail, but not with any other juices. And since you're not allowed to make the mikveh with any other liquid in the world besides for water, these juices squeezed out of the beets, since you are not allowed to make the mikveh with these juices, if these juices are going to discolor the mikveh, it will make the mikveh posel. V'chol dovo shein oisin mimenu mikveh lekatchila, poisel es hamikveh b'shinui mare. Anything, that any juice, any liquid, even if it does not have the halachic status of a mashke, any liquid that you would not be allowed to make a mikveh with it, if it discolors the mikveh is going to become posel. And now we're going to bring a Mishnah, and we're going to see this the same as we saw here, a discussion between how Rav Nachman explained the halacha of the Taradin and how Rav Papa explained the halacha, whether it's achshavei or whether it's the rule of kol dovo shein oisin mimenu mikveh lekatchila poisel es hamikveh b'shinui mare. We're going to see that's also going to be machlokes now regarding another Mishnah. Tana Nosom, we learned in a Mishnah in Mikvois, Nofal letoichoi. If the following fell into a mikveh, yain, wine, or chometz of vinegar, umoichal, which is olive water, liquids that ooze out of an olive, v'shine marov, and it changed the color of the mikveh, posel, the mikveh becomes posel. Says the Gemara, man tana de moichal mashkehu. Moichal is water that comes out of an olive. And there are three stages where this water comes out of an olive. The first stage is when the olives are first gathered together. Then there is just a very clear type of watery fluid that comes out of the olives, and nobody's got any interest in that whatsoever. And then after the olives are already there for a few days and they are pressuring each other and they are squeezing against each other, there's another type of liquid, another type of water that comes out of these olives. And then afterwards, just before or whilst it's being pressed, there you have the third stage of this water that comes out of the olives. So man tana de moichal mashkehu. We just said now, this mikveh became posel if moichal, either yain or chometz or moichal. So yain and chometz we know is called a mashke. Why not? This water of the olives, what makes that into mashke? Who gives that any significance? Who's the opinion that says that this olive water is called mashke? Omer Abaya, Abaya says Rabbi Yaakov. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov in a braisa. The Tanya, Rabbi Yaakov Oimer, Moichal harehu kamashke. Moichal is considered mashke. That's what Rabbi Yaakov says. Uma tam omru moichal hayoitza bitchilo toir. And the reason that the first stage of moichal, the very first type of watery substance, there everybody agrees it's not called a mashke, because the owners don't even want that discharge. But the other type of moichal, There, Rabbi Yaakov says, is called mashke. Rabbi Shimon says Moichel is not called a mashke. Is not considered mashke. Not like Rabbi Yaakov. Umatam omru Moichel ayotzim ikul beis habat tomei. But why do we say that there's a type of Moichel that everybody, including Rabbi Shimon, says it is called a mashke, and that's the third stage mashke, where it's coming out when it's already in the netting, in the ikul beis habad, the netting in the olive press. There it's tomei. Lefisha iyef shelo b'loitzich tzuchei shemen, because that liquid, the water that comes out when it's already in the net, in the olive press, there it's inevitable that there are traces of oil in it. At that stage, oil is definitely called a mashke. So what do we see here? We see that there's a machlekes Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon regarding moichel. But we see that they both agree that moichel is not called mashke. And they both agree that moichel is called mashke. So what's going on here? And when do they argue? My benayu, where do they argue? Ike benayu de osi bosor atzitzoso. The type of moichel, the middle stage, which comes post the pressure of the olives on each other. In that case, Rabbi Yaakov says that it's called moichel. Moichel is called mashke. Rabbi Shimon says it's not called mashke. And Rabbi Yaakov explains why everybody says that the first stage moichel is not called mashke. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yaakov, only the second stage and on is called mashke. Rabbi Shimon says only the third stage is called mashke, and he explains why. But the middle stage is not called mashke. So what do we see from here? We see that Abaye explains that the reason that this Mishnah says that if nofal atoichoi moichel v'shine marov is posel is because it's called mashke. It means because a person wants it. It's achshave, he gives significance to it. Tosfos already discusses why does Abaye insist that Mishnah is talking about the middle stage moichel, and only according to Rabbi Yaakov, why don't you say it's the third stage moichel, and then it's even according to Rabbi Shimon? And Tosfos explains that it's apparent from the Mishnah that we're not talking about the third stage moichel. But that was Abaye. Abaye explained that the mikveh is posel because achshave, which is in accordance to how Rav Nachman explained Rav Chisda before. Rava Omer, and Rav is now following Rav Papa, we said before. Mishum dehava dovo shein oisin emenu. Mikveh, he's got the same logic. Since these juices that come out of these olives are not juices that you're allowed to make a mikveh with, obviously, it's not rainwater. Poiselis ha mikveh b'shinui mare, and therefore it passels the mikveh with shinui mare. So you see the machlekas we had before regarding Rav Chisda's halacha of Taradin, that Rav Nachman seemed to say it's because of achshavei, and Rav Papa said it was because of it's not a fluid you're allowed to make a mikveh with. Those seems to be also the same machlekas, Abaye and Rava, to explain the Mishnah of Moichel. Nimitz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.